of the presidential primary, discussion centered chiefly on the Iraq war. Sectarian violence yesterday was responsible for the deaths of at least 78 Iraqis. The bodies of 27 men were found dumped in various Baghdad neighborhoods. Former CIA chief George Tenet says Vice President Dick Cheney and others in the White House thrust the country into a war in Iraq without adequate or serious debate. Tenet provides the first extensive behind-the-scenes look at the lead-up to the Iraq war in a book to be published Monday. In Afghanistan, the Taliban have taken control of an eastern district following hours of battle today. Five Afghanis were killed, including the district's mayor and police chief. Leading U.S. senators are promising to return the right of Guantanamo Bay detainees to challenge their imprisonment, a right denied them by Congress last year. There are some 385 foreign prisoners at the U.S. military facility. Most have been there for 5 years without being charged with a crime. The USDA says at least 6,000 hogs nationwide have been fed recalled poisonous pet food. Authorities are trying to determine whether the butchered pigs have entered the human food supply yet. Farms in four states have been quarantined. In Georgia, a wildfire thought to have been under control has rekindled, burning three more buildings and forcing hundreds to evacuate. In the last 11 days, the fires have destroyed more than 61,000 acres. In Chechnya, a Russian military helicopter was shot down this morning. All 18 aboard were killed. Russian authorities say the troops were participating in a mission against Islamic extremists. Master cellist and Russian activist Mstislav Rostropovich has died of cancer. He was 80. Jack Valenti, longtime president of the Motion Pictures Association, has died of stroke complications. He was 85. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
This is Beyonce. For a performer, a smile is an instant reward. And once you've seen the smiles on the faces of children at Shriners Hospitals, you'll know why the Shriners have been providing their world-renowned medical care to kids for over 80 years at absolutely no charge. At Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized services and treatments for kids with orthopedic, burn, or spinal cord problems. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
The deaths of hundreds of birds and sea mammals recently along the California coast are being blamed on a bloom of toxic acid-producing algae. Biologists say warmer water this year has produced an especially heavy growth of algae. The Commerce Department says in the first quarter, the U.S. economy grew at the slowest pace in 4 years. The sluggish housing market contributed to the weak growth. Nintendo says it will quickly produce more of its popular Wii game consoles. Yearly sales figures for the Japanese company nearly doubled, spurred on by Wii and DS portable sales. Net profit surged 77%. Microsoft posted a 65% boost in quarterly profit to nearly $5 billion. Microsoft credits sales of its new Windows Vista operating system. An internet advocacy group has filed a federal lawsuit against so-called spam harvesters who troll the web to collect email addresses for sale to mass distributors. Citigroup announced today its takeover bid was successful for Japanese securities firm Nikko Corjo. Citigroup's bid was $7.7 billion. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.76 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 21 points, the Nasdaq up 2. The S&P 500 is down, too. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, right. 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10, You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah.
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Well, all right. Welcome back, everybody. John Fox here, now doing Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks, Joe, for letting me fill in for you a couple times this week. That story about the night owl thing still does my head in. Because I think I have that gene. And seriously, this is not something I'd want to be genetically changing other people to have. It's just kind of absolutely crazy. So anyway, on to green stuff. And I live in one of the two countries that has not signed on to Kyoto. Now, Australia was looking to be actually, you know, meeting its Kyoto targets, and something's come out today that because of increased consumption, we're going to fall short by something like 2%. Howard saying, they got it wrong, their math is wrong. But whatever. Well, the EU and the U.S. are getting ready to have a meeting for a global warming agreement between the two of them. And there's now mad divisions. And what is it? It's the U.S. wants to put soft language in. It's just absolutely... more of the same story. It's like, come on, come on, come on, let's get with the program here. If America is this great, you know, economic blah 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 force, you know, and got all the ingenuity, you know, coming out every orifice, rah 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 rah, well, get with the program, because that means that people that aren't as clever as you are actually taking on the issue seriously, you know, with very, very, you know, what I would say, pretty bloody good targets. And not necessarily knowing how you're going to get there yet. But with the idea that technology will continue to develop if we invest in it now. And so, from the Independent, I get tired of reading these. Because we've heard this before. Divisions over climate change threaten to derail a set piece EU-US summit and overshadow moves to strengthen transatlantic economic ties. With time running out before Monday's meeting in Washington, some EU diplomats suggested that a weak declaration on global warming would be worse than no statement at all. The meeting, which will be hosted by George Bush and attended by Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel, was seen as an opportunity for Europe and the U.S. to align their positions on climate change before a G8 meeting in June. That gathering will be chaired by Ms. Merkel, who holds the presidencies of the EU and G8 and who is pressing for a deal on the fight against global warming. And again, it's always the U.S. and down here in local stuff, it's Australia that wants special dispensation. And why? Why should we be getting special dispensation? There's no argument that you can give me that justifies that. Oh, we produce more. Well, you're making more of a mess. It continues on a little further down. It says, the German EU presidency said it was confident that the communique language will be agreed. However, European diplomats cast doubt over the likelihood of a significant breakthrough. The U.S. has dug in over its insistence that there should be no commitment to binding targets unless developing countries such as China and India follow suit. Oh, and that's another argument that I'm tired of having. China and India are still going through their industrial revolutions. And both have said that they in the past that they've planned to sign on to Kyoto Mark II. And the Chinese actually understand what they're facing, and they're trying to do things in so many ways that are far more dramatic than anything in the States when it comes to entirely green engineered future communities that generate their own electricity. Because they know the time's going to end where they don't care what the price of oil is because they're just on this constant expansion. But that's going to come, there's going to come a time where they're not going to be able to, the price of oil is going to get to the point where they can't afford to just buy it willy-nilly. Because at the moment, they're just going such gangbusters and it's such constant growth that they can afford the price of petrol and keep it cheap. But they know that's going to come to an end. Oops. Studio cats come to help. That's always scary. The hard line from the White House prompted internal divisions on the European side and tension amongst different parts of the government of Germany. Ms. Merkel's economic advisor, Jens Wiedemann, reflected the caution over what can be achieved, conceding that it was asking for a bit too much to expect the U.S. to be convinced to sign up to binding CO2 emissions targets. Why? Why? It makes, He added, "What's important is that we engage in discussions with our American friends, which make it clear for the need to act, and on that basis we can pursue discussions as part of the G8 process." Stop soft-shoeing. Stop dancing around. Let's start getting on it and hold the United States accountable. I mean, some countries like France and other nations have considered putting an extra tariff on imports from countries that haven't signed on to Kyoto, and so that means two nations, Australia and the United States. It's just, when are we going to wake up? Or when, it's not actually us waking up, most of us have had the awakening. But when are people in power going to represent this? And we know the interests of Bush and his boys, but his best idea that he comes up with is we're going to put big mirrors in space and reflect the sun back in on itself. There you go. There's an idea. Ah. folks. We're heading into our first break. Going to come back and talk some technology and some other things. And you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, dial into 1-877-443-2366. And we'll see you on the other side of this break.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Where did you find a spot to come in over that? Just every spot going by just felt like it would be sacrilege just to open my mouth. Nice one, Bob. Welcome back to Foxed Up here, everybody. And so, you know, I'm talking about, again, it's the United States and in international discussions on global warming. They go, oh, you can't hold this to actual caps. And it says here, European officials have been fighting for a communique that makes a reference to EU climate change policies, recognizing that the problem of global warming is man-made and that there is a need to reach a worldwide deal on tackling it, but that the EU has committed to a 20% reduction in CO2 emissions by 2020, which is even That's not even that insane. And insane, I mean good. It should be higher than that. But and you get the same thing. You know, the U.S. argues that it's investing more than the EU in technologies such as carbon capture, which is still a pipe dream, which could help countries such as China to tackle emissions. Well, we have the same arguments over here, and it's, you know, why are you so insistent on chasing a technology that's not even been seen to work ever yet? I'm not saying that we shouldn't put money into research into it, but they're putting like all their eggs in that basket and then saying to future solar and biomass and, you know, all the others, you know, you're on your own, you got to make it viable without any of the money. And it just drives me nuts. And it's always the United States or Australia sitting in its, you know, shadow, Johnny Howard going, oh, protect me, George Bush. Protect me. And I just... When is someone going to stand up? And I mean, and this is again a case with our, you know, everything being so staged these days. You know, when someone's going to just stand up in front of these guys and say, you know what, you're full of it. We know you're full of it. Get with the program. I have this undying urge to take a week and go and stay somewhere in Canberra and go down my little Head On Radio Network microphone and be in the press gaggle and just see how far I could push it and actually ask, you know, how much money does your party get from the coal industry and who is telling you to say this, you know, absolutely insane load of, you know, horse dookie. I find it amazing, you know, the it's willful ignorance to an insane level as far as, you know, I can see, and it's just so party politics. And this should not be a party issue. This should be, you know, everybody. And the fact that it has become such a, you know, Republican-Democrat issue, we're having the wrong discussions. We're obviously not talking about it right. And it's not that hard. It really isn't. It's not that hard to use less. Or maybe it is, you know, for some people. But, I mean, it really shouldn't be so hard to just use less. And I would imagine that any candidate who was trying to formulate a way to say this, the scriptwriters would say, you can't go there. You can't go there because you can't tell people to give up their lifestyle. And that's a false argument, too, because no environment, no lifestyle. You know, it's the flip side of it's the economy or it's the environment thing. Another completely false argument. So it can't stand up under its own weight, you know, at all. It's so disingenuous. But, you know, we should be investing more money into, you know, there's more news on Phoenix Motor Cars, you know, that they're actually going to now do a plug-in hybrid version, and these are the folks that make those really, really groovy. So this is the stuff that should be getting help. You know, really groovy pickup truck that runs either full-on electric power, or you can get it in a hybrid version that they're getting ready to come out with now. So it's not limited to its 200-mile, you know, extra schmick, U-Butte, we've come up with the goods battery pack. You know, we should be investing in things like this. There was another story about the fact that they've come up with a no-silicon type of solar panel. Right, and so I mean, if rare materials can be eliminated from some of these things, that's obviously a good thing. It says here, a team of Australian researchers has cleared an important hurdle in the development of cheap solar power. The scientists have devised a new manufacturing technique that would boost the efficiency of an inexpensive type of solar cell by up to 50%, making the technology an economically feasible alternative to fossil fuels in the search for sustainable energy. Why aren't we throwing a ton of money at these people? You know, this is the kind of thing where Howard says, oh, we've given this to renewable energy, yeah, $1 billion over 10 years. Over 10 years. You know, and that's nothing in comparison to what the coal industry has gotten to be able to produce 3 cents a kilowatt power. They say here, the high cost of solar cells means that the energy they generate is about 5 times more expensive than the conventional power, keeping the technology off the roofs of the average citizen. Much of the expense comes from the silicon and the wafers that make up the cells. As a result, researchers have focused on improving so-called thin film cells, which minimize the use of silicon. The downside to these 1 or 2 micron thick films is that they can only convert about 5 to 10% of incoming sunlight into electricity versus up to 25% for the thicker silicon wafers. That's because a process called etching, which is used to maximize light absorption by the cell, reduces the cell's current voltage and overall output. But, you know, stick up a few more if they're that much cheaper. Huh? Doesn't sound too hard to me. And there's been a lot on this, actually, over the last 6 months, this new super thin wafer thing. A wafer thin mint, or solar cell, as it would be. So, we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break a little bit early because we have part two. I can't believe I haven't mentioned it all show. Mr. Billy Shears, his second installment in the Shears music series here that he's been giving to us here at the Horn, which is very cool. I've had a listen. You're going to dig this. This is going to be coming up after the break. Part two of his 4-part series on Mr. Billy Joel. And I forgot, listening to the one last week and the same thing this week, I really forgot what a great stage storyteller Billy Joel is. He does a great job. You know, the guy could do just, you know, the cabaret piano bar, and it would probably be just awesome. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head-On Radio Network, and when we come back, Shears music. Stick around.
When you belong to no one, you didn't stand a chance, son. If your plans were undone, 'cause you were brave for humanity and souls to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day. A million generations removed from expectations of being who you really want to be. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of the new day.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Shh. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We are all influenced by music and artists that help shape our musical taste. And I'm always curious about who the famous artists of our day are touched by. You may find it interesting to know who had the greatest impact on Billy Joel. For example, he loved Ray Charles so much he named his daughter after Ray Charles. That's right, Alexa Ray. During one of Billy Joel's Q&A sessions, a young guy in the audience stated that he thought Billy Joel had a very eclectic taste in music, and he also wanted to know who influenced him over the years. So you're going to hear in this segment how Billy Joel takes you through the years of his discovery of the influences in his life. Now, after the Q&A, you're going to hear a song that was written by one of Billy Joel's biggest influences. He's actually going to perform the first half, and by the magic of editing, the original artist will join in the middle and finish up. So here we go with Billy Joel, and I hope you enjoy.
Okay, thank you for saying that it is eclectic, because that's something I strive to be. Probably the biggest influence in my life was classical music originally, and the Beatles really synthesized what I wanted to do. That would be the single biggest moment that I can remember being galvanized into wanting to be a musician for life was seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. So I listened to classical music, and I always loved music. I was enchanted by music. I would have to say Beethoven would be my favorite classical composer. I'm over this guy's house, and the Beatles come on TV. Now, you got to understand, this is in something like February of 1964. John F. Kennedy, the president, had been assassinated in November of 1963. The country was in a funk, and we had the blues.
One of our great assets in this country are the talented boys and girls who devote their early lives to music, to appreciation of music, to an understanding of it. This is a great, I think, and vital force in American life.
For this man to be taken away, this young, vigorous, vital man who represented youth and progress and the future, was snatched from us. And the country really had the blues. And who became the president?
Lyndon Johnson.
Yes. Like, this man didn't capture anyone's imagination like the way Kennedy did. So all of a sudden, now this is also in an era Hollywood tried to take control of rock and roll. They understood that young people like rock and roll. So you had Frankie Avalon and Fabian and, you know, Annette Funicello, you know, and they were putting Elvis in these awful movies, you know, Clam Bake, well, it's Clam, and like everybody liked Elvis was like, what the hell happened to this guy? They and also, this is during the Civil Rights Movement, and a lot of radio would not play really good rhythm and blues. It was Jackie Wilson was out, and Otis Redding, and Wilson Pickett, James Brown, but they weren't playing this stuff on radio. Why? They got the kids all too sexed up. Got them all excited. They're going to want to do that grind dance, you know. So they tried to pretty it up. They tried to sanitize it. And they come out with Frankie Avalon and Fabian and Bobby Rydell. And all of a sudden, there's this band with hair like girls, you know. It really wasn't, but to us, their hair looked like hugely long, you know, 1964. And they played their own instruments, and they wrote their own songs. And they didn't look like Fabian. They looked like these working class, like kids like we all knew. And John Lennon had this look when he was on Ed Sullivan, like, fuck all you, you know. He has, this is such total bullshit to me. And we knew, you could tell, he said, yeah, I know, I know. And I said at that moment, I said, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. That's what I want to do. I want to be like those guys.
Here's Billy Joel with A Hard Day's Night and John and the Boys Taking It Home.
It's been a hard day's night.
Thanks for lending an ear.
And thank you, Mr. Billy Shears. How cool is that? I love that Frankie Avalon. And it's so true. I mean, believe me, when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, I was still yet to be a thought. But, I love that description, you know, how the Beatles were, you know, these long-haired, you know, people, guys that looked like, you know, people they knew. And, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. And Fucking old Billy, you can when he's actually singing that, you can hear Billy Joel's had a bit of a vocal influence from old John Lennon. Just there's inflection things there that just pop out at me when you listen to the two juxtaposed against one another. And yes, I love that jangly sound too, says Bob Kincaid. Rickenbackers, very nice, very nice. And I would reckon that was Preston with them already at that time. That would have been him on the piano there. I don't know. Maybe that was a little early. No, that wasn't exactly totally early, was that? No. Anyway, I'm rambling. But that's what I do. That's what I do. Yeah, anyway. Thanks for that, Billy Shears. And we'll part three next Friday. And I dig those. I dig those a lot. And there's all kinds of little stories kind of all over today. I got sent a whole bunch of stuff, and I still have people emailing me the story about Spinal Tap getting back together. I think that's a riot. Don't you think I know by now? over at Tree Hugger, I'm not going to read it, but over at Tree Hugger, and I'm sorry, I'm so computered out, I haven't posted the last couple of shows. We'll get back to normal posting situation when the new site's up on Monday. And there's a really good piece about, and the headline of it is, study shows outdoor education improves science and math test scores. And, you know, again, my first response is, duh. And but secondly, it's a good piece with a link or two there, and I would suggest going over there and reading it, because you know, we're so disconnected from how our world works. You know, how many kids don't actually understand how food gets to the table, or the leaves break down after they fall from the tree, and you know what the bugs actually do, so that they understand why it's an important thing that the bees are disappearing. And there's more and more coming out about that bee story too, that it really could be the mobile phone towers. And I really thought that was a stretch at first, but you know, hey, if they got stuff to back it up, they got stuff to back it up. It all seems to be kind of rehashing of the same thing, but there's more and more of it kind of coming out all the time. And to me, that's one of the most frightening things, and it's being seen here in Australia, where you have entire colonies just disappear. And the weird thing that really freaks me out about it is that the usual predators will not enter and take the honey. It's as though it's tainted, and they can't find anything really chemically different. What's going on? And these aren't, Ray's saying, you know, killer bees need to die out. These ain't the killer bees, man. These are like, you know, the ones we need to, you know, pollinate. And it's just, it's things like the bees and things like the protoplasm dying out, you know, the smaller end of the food chain dying out is where it's really dangerous, you know. The larger species dying out is less of a danger to the overall system than the beginning of the food chain. That's a problem. And what is it, off the coast of California and I think actually off of the South American eastern coast, just completely dying, which means that your most basic life forms don't have their primary source of food, which means then the little fish don't have their source of food, which means that the medium-sized fish don't have their source of food. Follow where I'm going with this? And again, this is where, you know, I hear the U.S., you know, going, oh, don't hold us to anything. You can't do that, because that might hurt our profiteering, you see. I feel like Mickey from a mighty wind. And we wouldn't like that. And you wouldn't like us like that. Would you now? Time to go find a pretty flower. Anyway, let's take our last break for the day, and you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll wrap things up and remind you about what's going on with our web presence over the weekend, a few little programming warnings, and I might even be filling in some more next week, and maybe I'll actually have some time with the website done to prep. So stick around, folks. You listen to Foxed Up on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
The way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet, and I'm wondering if I'm gonna see tomorrow. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in the heaven.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
Well, I hear a great singing in these hills, in the night the droning of his drills, with a hooty owl and a whippoorwill, like a nightjar without wings. I'm looking around me, it's so sad, the ravenous American dream gone mad. If one guitar was all I had, and just one song to sing, and I would sing a song.
Nice, Bob. Very cool. Welcome back to Foxed Up here, folks, on the Head On Radio Network. And Before we get out of here, and just kind of flipping through, because like I said, you know, it's been just one of those really chaotic weeks over on this side of the planet over here. So, you know, I've been really slack on keeping up with emails flooding my mailbox and doing my usual surfing. However, you know, so I've been trying to do it as we've been going on here, and this is kind of a cool thing. Kohl's supermarkets in California going solar. Yesterday, Kohl's announced it planned to convert more than 75% of its department stores in California to solar power beginning in May. The first stores involved in the project will be Laguna Niguel and Visalia, if I'm saying that right. 24 of Kohl's 80 California stores will immediately convert, and the company is seeking permits and approval for another 40 stores in the state. Kohl's management said the company's initial solar foray will generate more than 35 million kilowatt hours of renewable energy. Ding, ding, ding. That's very nice. Well done. Well done. And there's also a thing here, and there's another story here saying more on hybrid school buses. Well, I missed the first one. This is the kind of stuff that really would be the easy way to make a difference. You know, you're... Civic Fleets, you know, they're showing this, you know, brand new yellow school bus that obviously, you know, is it's a plug-in hybrid school bus. It's got an international V8 diesel engine and hybrid electric powertrain. And it gives a 70 to 100% increase in fuel efficiency, 90% reduction in emissions. Now, you know, I mean, seriously, these are the kinds of things that we should be making it, like, mandatory that, you know, when you buy new fleets, they have to be clean. You know, this is where Phoenix Motor Cars, I believe, in their first runs were doing really quite well with some fleet sales to, you know, local councils and things. And, you know, so, I mean, make the investment there. You know, I don't see why it's so hard. But anyway, before we get out of here, just a reminder, over the weekend, the headonradionetwork.com website will go through some changes. And so there may be a point over Saturday, Sunday that you may go to the horn and it's suddenly, like, not there. But it will be back in short order because we're just going to wipe the drives, do some cleaning house, and then put up the shiny new site. And so in the meantime, remember, you can always go to whiterosesociety.org to pick up the replay streams on the weekend. And if all goes well, those of you that are already signed up, you know, bloggers or, you know, members, commenters, whatever, all that should hopefully, all things being equal, the plan is that all those usernames and passwords will all be the same. Chat room won't be affected at all. Hopefully when it's back up, you will like the new, less cluttered, more friendly website. So it's going to be a lot of long hours for me this weekend, but that's all right. I've been wanting to do this for a long, 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 long time because I know that there's been a whole lot of people not happy with the condition of the website currently, and I agree. It's a dog's breakfast, okay? And the dog's breakfast is going out to the trash. Anyway. yeah, just keep that in mind as the weekend progresses. We could pop up. We don't need a million emails going, the website's down, the website's down. We know. At some point, before it can be redone, it has to be wiped el cleano, which would be good. Good to clean house. There's also another story over here at Tree Hugger about some solar-powered device that converts CO2 into energy. University of California. They've demoed a prototype device that can capture energy from the sun, convert it to electrical energy, and then split carbon dioxide into carbon monoxide and oxygen. The device is not yet optimized. It still needs external energy for the process to work. However, the researchers hope that their results will encourage interest in the device. Interesting. Interesting. Imagine that. Solar cell that then could reprocess carbon into energy. But what about the carbon monoxide? Don't I remember that being kind of ugly stuff? You know, sticks to the lungs and just kind of doesn't leave. Takes his place of... Betsy said, it's called a plant, John. Very good. Very good. Nicely done. I stand corrected. I told y'all a couple of weeks ago about this ridiculous documentary of the four big ideas for global warming, you know, the one being the mirrors in the sky. And the other one was the guy who was building mechanical trees to absorb carbon dioxide. He was even calling them mechanical trees. He wanted to build a tree, but better. Some people just shouldn't be given research grants. That's all I can say. You're throwing your money away. Throw it at wafer-thin solar power. Throw it at Phoenix Motor Cars. Hell, I really want to see some Australian philanthropist investor person open up an air car plant in Australia. I just think that would be the best. I still think that is just... That should be the technology. And you just end up having all the gas stations put in air compressors. It you know, the infrastructure would be so simple. You know, there's no trucking anything. Although that some people aren't going to like that. It doesn't resolve being stuck to any kind of company that has to go and fight wars so that they can grab stuff out of the ground in which to sell back to the people whose ground it was taken out of, or other people. Resource wars. There's been a few things in the Australian media lately, you know, reminding me of the fact that, you know, Iraq is the first real, you know, globe, you know, the kind of like turning the corner into beginning resource wars. And, you know, what seemed 10 years ago is something that was just way, way, way out in the future. It's in some ways just too close. It's frightening if you think about it too much. You know, I mean, just we've all passed peak oil in the mid-70s, and it's just going to run downhill from here as our consumption continues to go up. It's going to give. The false economy is going to give some point down the road. And there's, you know, unless we pull back on that consumption. I mean, that's the whole thing. And it doesn't have to be that painful. So, I mean, most people just waste energy anyway. You know, it'd be just a matter of changing all your light bulbs and shutting a few things off. Putting switches on your PowerPoints in America would be a good thing. I know y'all don't even know what that is. We have little power switches on all our PowerPoints. You can turn things off from the wall. It's a very cool thing. But anyway, folks, we're going to wrap it up for the weekend. Thanks for sticking around with me for the last couple of hours as I kind of prattled on and did some surfing and did some other things. And thank you, Mr. Billy Shears, for this week's segment of Shears Music. Starting next week on the new website, I will be archiving all those on a particular page. And go over to Billy's website, shearsmusic.livejournal.com. And I got a good friend of mine who's submitting a piece to that blog. That's going to be very, very good, and that's coming up pretty soon. So thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing today. Thanks to the bloggers and the mods in the chat room and on the website. Thank you to Peter Godbold. Thank you to Ben Birch at White Rose Society. Thank you to the Carpenters. Thank you, Scott Barry at B1 Ladder Productions. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we will see you on Monday.
Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen and silence to your concerns. Rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about...
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch.
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.